Thank you, Lord. Please be seated. I think we look forward to just hear our speaker, Garth. I need to say this right because he has a Swedish background. Okay, so it's Garth Gustafsson. I'm sure I did not say it in the right way, okay? But it's amazing just to connect with Pastor Garth. And just last night over dinner, you know, Pastor Garth, I just want to say to you that, you know, my heart really connected with you to hear what God is doing in your life through the work that you're doing in Cambodia. And so Pastor Garth turned to Cambodia maybe about 14 years ago as a young single man. And went there, God called him there. He was part of the YWAM ministry, Youth with a Mission. Many of us have heard that wonderful and powerful organization of sending young, thousands of young people around the world. And he was one of those young people from America who had, from Washington State, uprooted himself and went to Cambodia. And not only that, he met his wife there, although before that it was in the university that he met his wife. And then they connected again in Cambodia, and then by some few other coincidences, all right? And they met his wife a few more times, and then finally they fell in love, got married, two wonderful kids, all right? Lila and Gunnar, beautiful kids, and they were here this morning. And so it's amazing to just read the love story. And you know, amazing how much you can find out from internet, all right? Their love story. And so, you know, just connecting with them to hear stories of what God is doing, in Battambang. And they have set up a University of Nations, Battambang, which YWAM is really famous for, their DTS, their discipleship school. And Garth also served as an elder for the YWAM movement in Asia, serving and supporting 1,400 missionaries in Southeast Asia. That in itself blows my mind, all right? That how God will continue to use people, young people, to touch the nations. So, we'd like to show you a video right now to just give you a glimpse of what God is doing in Battambang itself, okay? So can we roll the video right now? Amen. Let's put our hands together. An amazing, amazing, you know, story that we're going to hear from him. Church, could you just stretch your hands to the front and just pray for Pastor Garth. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, God. Lord, in Battambang itself. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in extending what's happening at Battambang. We want to pray that, Lord, as Pastor Garth shares his heart, God, may we have a glimpse of what your heart is, even for us. And so speak through him, we pray. Most of all, Lord, not only we inspire our hearts, but you instruct, Lord, the way we live our life. And we pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Chris, Pastor Kelvin. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be with you this afternoon. As Pastor Chris introduced me, my name is Garth, and I've been living and working in Cambodia for about 13 years. This is my family, my two kids. Last night, Pastor Chris started to introduce me, and he started to say all this information that he knew about me. And I first thought, is he just hearing from the Lord right now? Like, is he just getting words of wisdom? He's like telling my love story. And then I realized that he was a Facebook stalker and that he was stalking me and learning all about me. It's really helpful to have Google, but even better to have God. And so thankful for what God is doing in Asia. Thankful for what God is doing in DUMC, and it's a privilege to be with you. As Pastor Chris said, we work in Battambang, Cambodia, which is in the northwest of Cambodia. And as we are in our missions weekend at DUMC, I just want to affirm you. I was so blessed this morning hearing the story of Grace out of Vietnam, the fruit of how you are a part of what God is doing in missions in Asia. And I believe that the greatest wave of missions is yet to come, and I believe Asia has a key role to play. And so as I've been praying for our time together, I really sense that the Lord just kept laying this phrase on my heart. And I believe it's an invitation to you as DUMC. And it's this phrase, Malaysian Missions Movement. So can you just turn to your neighbor and say that this morning? Just turn to your neighbor and say, Malaysian Missions Movement. Turn to your other neighbor and say that one more time, Malaysian Missions Movement. It's almost a tongue twister because there's a triple M in there, you know? It's like M cubed. And I believe that God wants to invite you into your inheritance this morning in the nations. And that Malaysia has a key part to play in the missions wave that God is bringing through Asia. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at the text in Isaiah. And so I'd like to invite you, DUMC, to stand up together. And as we do, we will read the scriptures together. I love how you guys read the scriptures together. And so would you read it with me on the count of three? One, two, three. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundation of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house of the Lord was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me. This morning, as we are in a year where the theme at DUMC is step in, I believe God's word to us, and I submit this humbly to the pastors and the elders here, is an invitation to the Malaysian church stepping in to a missions movement out of Malaysia. Can you just say with me this morning, step in?
Step in.
Oh, that's really strong. Can we try that one more time? Step in.
Step in.
And so God is inviting us to step in. And so let's just pray this morning and give our time to the Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for what you're doing through DUMC. We thank you how DUMC has stepped in, and we pray that this morning would mark us as we say yes to your dreams, God, that we would dream bigger dreams with you. And so we commit this time to you, Holy Spirit. We invite you to speak to us, that we would have an encounter like Isaiah had an encounter, and that we would say, Here I am. Send me. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, Amen. You can take a seat this morning. I just came from Korea, and I was in Korea with 250 missionaries from all over East Asia. Obviously Koreans, but from some nations that you wouldn't typically think of as mission-sending nations. Missionaries from Japan, missionaries from Mongolia, missionaries from Taiwan, almost all of them under 40 or 45 years old, working full-time in missions. God is raising up a missions movement out of Asia. Historically, we have thought about missions as going from the West to the East, and in our generation, that is changing. Now God is using Asia to send out missions all over the world. See, historically, when we read missionary books, it's also oftentimes about people like Hudson Taylor, people from places like Europe. And yet I believe in 50 years we'll be reading history about missionaries from places like Malaysia and Cambodia. And so, yeah, you can clap. That's a good thing to clap for, right? And so this morning, as we dive into thinking about missions, I ran across this quote by a man named George Wilson. Now, most of you wouldn't know George Wilson's name because George Wilson was one of key five men that stood behind Billy Graham for decades. And George Wilson said this, "Don't wonder whether you have a call to go. Have you had a distinct call from Christ to stay at home?" See, oftentimes we think that missionaries have a really strong just like encounter with God, and that's why they've gone. But as we're going to look at in Isaiah, Isaiah responds to God's heart. I want to invite you to respond to God's heart. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exists because worship doesn't. I was listening to Pastor Daniel Ho speak last week, and he was talking about different missions involvements that you guys have in Uganda. And this week he's in Nepal. And he's in Nepal, and your church is engaged in places like Vietnam and Cambodia and Thailand. Why? Not for mission's sake, but because worship does not exist. And so the goal is that people like Annette go to Vietnam, and they raise up people like Grace. And worship starts to exist in Hanoi, Vietnam, where it didn't. And so I'm so blessed to be with you. And I was just thinking, as I knew that Pastor Daniel was in Nepal, I thought, out of 7 billion people in the world, God led me this Sunday to talk to you. And I'm so privileged to be with you, but I want to talk to you about how I believe that you are strategically located to be one of the biggest missions forces in the world. See, you are on the edge of the 1040 window. The 1040 window has the most unreached people groups in the world. It has the largest population in the world, and it has all of the major religions in the world, and you are strategically located there. The most unreached people groups, and if you want to know more about this, we'll be doing a mission seminar this afternoon, are located in places like China and India. Now, I was out having dinner at midnight. I don't think I've ever done that, only in Malaysia, I guess, right? With the next Jenners on Friday night. I've been eating constantly since I've gotten to Malaysia. One of the first people that I met in Malaysia, they said, "You know, in Malaysia, we don't eat three meals a day." And I'm looking around going, "Really?" Because I live in Cambodia, and some people don't eat three meals a day because they don't have money to eat three meals a day. But I'm looking around at KL going, "Really, you don't eat three meals a day? Because you guys are looking pretty healthy." And she said, "No, we don't eat three meals a day because we never stop eating. It's just like one long meal." And so there I am, midnight, eating my third supper, I think, in Malaysian fashion. And everyone's talking. And most of the time they're being respectful and speaking English so I can understand. But every once in a while it goes into a mix of languages. And I've been living in Asia for long enough that I can recognize the different languages, but I'm totally confused. Because I'm hearing English, and then Chinese, and then Tamil, and different languages. And I'm like, what is going on? Oh yeah, we just mix it all together. This is Malaysia. A mix of cultures, a mix of languages, a mix of the nations. And then somebody said, "Oh yes, that person is Chindian." I said, "What, Ian? A Chindian. I never heard of a Chindian." And oh yeah, it's a Chinese Indian. It's like God's hybrid. You're strategically located, strategically placed with languages like Chinese, with culture like Indian, to be sent out to some of the most unreached people groups in the world. And so the invitation this morning, step in. Can you say step in? Okay, we're not going to get weaker. We're going to get stronger as the morning goes. Step in. The invitation to Malaysia's inheritance in the nations through a missions movement. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Now, I really feel like I'm just the mailman delivering the mail because I wasn't expecting God to say Malaysian missions movement. But as I sought the Lord, I really feel like DUMC, you're being invited to be a catalytic part of what God wants to do, not only through you, but through the body of Christ in Malaysia. See, for years, Malaysia has prayed, God bless Malaysia, God bless Malaysia. And looking around, I can see that God has blessed Malaysia. And now the question is, as God has blessed Malaysia, what are we going to do with that blessing? God speaks to Abraham and he says, you have been blessed to be a blessing. And now is the season for Malaysia to step into your inheritance and be a blessing to the nations. Now, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it's very interesting because as we read the scriptures, it starts off by saying this, in the year King Uzziah died. Pay attention to the details when you read the scriptures. There is a political crisis that is happening in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. They have a great king, and he has died. And as we come this morning, in our minds, there's a lot going on about the future of Malaysia, about the elections in Malaysia. And yet in that time, Isaiah encountered the king. As we come into the season of elections, may we remember that the king is still on the throne, that he is still the king over Malaysia, and that he is still sovereign. And so we focus our eyes on the king like Isaiah. And when we do that, then we encounter him. And as he encountered the king, it changed him forever. In the year 2002, I was in India as a 23-year-old. First mission trip, first morning in Calcutta, India, and I go down the road to a coffee shop. I don't think they had Starbucks at that point, but I'm sitting in this coffee shop, and I'm next to a window, and on the inside of the coffee shop is Indians in three-piece suits reading the Wall Street Journal. And on the outside of the window are kids that are almost without clothes, begging. And I went to go and try to bring the children in to feed them, and the person working there said, no, you cannot bring them in. I said, oh, I'm going to pay for them, don't worry. And they said, no, they're a different caste. They cannot come into this restaurant. It does not matter if you pay for them or not. And at that point, I realized how broken the world was. And I realized that if I'm truly going to call myself a follower of Jesus, that everything in my life had to change. See, I'm the son of a lawyer. My grandfather was a surgeon. I was raised to be successful, to make lots of money, and to live in comfort. I'm the last person that should have been a missionary. And yet in that moment, I had to reconcile the fact that if I really believe this, everything in my life has to change. How I use my life, how I spend my money, how I use my time. Is it going to be for me or for him? And he invited me to step in. A month later, I was up near the Nepal border, still in India, and there was a prayer meeting. And we were sharing at the prayer meeting, small church. And at the end, we invited people to come forward if they wanted prayer for healing. And a little mother picked up her little boy, 7, 8 years old, wrapped in a blanket, brought him up, and took the blanket off. And the circumference of his neck was wider than his head. Swollen, open wounds, pus coming out. Prayed for him. The next morning, completely healed. We can clap for that. No medicine, no stitches, no wounds, no scabs. The miraculous power of the hand of God touching a little boy. And I started to think, man, the God of the Bible is still working in the same way today as he was back then. The question is, will we step in? Help me out here. Can we stay step in? God is inviting us to step in. The question I have for us this morning is this question of idolatry or inheritance. See, for me, when I stepped into missions, I was set up for a really comfortable life. And it would have been really easy just to go down the road of worldly success, lots of comfort. God has blessed me in my life. God has blessed you as a nation in Malaysia. And that's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. But when we take good things and elevate them above God, The Bible calls that idolatry. See, oftentimes we think of idols as statues of stone or wood, but the Bible describes idols as anything that would take the place of God. And so I had a choice to make in my life. What was going to be the number one priority in my life? The kingdom or my kingdom? My comfort or his glory? My success or him being honored? I would submit to you, the way that the Lord has blessed you, now you have to choose. Are you going to use it to be a blessing to the nations? Or are you just going to sit back in comfort? That choice will determine if you receive your inheritance. And so it's an invitation this morning to you as a generation in Malaysia. How will we respond to God's invitation? And so in Isaiah, we see Isaiah respond. He encounters God. And I want you, when you read the Bible, it's so easy to kind of read da-da-da-da-da-da, but put yourself in the shoes of the people in the Bible. And Isaiah sees the king seated on the throne, and the thresholds shake, and there's smoke filling the temple. And then he hears this. He hears an invitation. But before he hears an invitation, he recognizes his sinfulness. He says, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips." And this morning as we took baptism, there is recognition. People need God. And then, as he recognizes his sinfulness, God sends a seraphim with a coal, an angelic being with a coal to touch his lips. And then he says, "Now you have been cleansed." See, it's the gospel in Isaiah. He recognized his sin. God forgives him of his sin. And then he prepares him to be sent out. This morning, as we watch baptism, these people are recognizing what Jesus has done in their life. God has cleansed them from their sin. And now, it's the first step. But see, when we take the first step into the kingdom, it's not the end of the race, it's the beginning of the journey. And so Isaiah steps in. And then Isaiah hears God. Now, I would like to suggest to you that at the beginning of chapter 6, it says this. It says, "The call of Isaiah." But actually, when we see what God says, God is not speaking to Isaiah at all. He never says Isaiah's name. He never directs a question or a command, actually. He never commands Isaiah. Oftentimes, if we think we're going to be called to missions, we expect something like this. "Garth, now you will go to Cambodia." I never had that. Isaiah never had that. Isaiah does not get a command. Actually, God is just speaking. We don't know if he's speaking to the Trinity or the angels or both. And he says this, "I've got a dream in my heart. Who will go for us and who shall we send?" And when Isaiah has got a glimpse of who God is, he wants to be a part of the God-sized dreams. This morning, I want you to dream with God. What does it look like to be a part of his dreams? What does it look like to see a Malaysian missions movement released? Here in Malaysia, the founder of Youth at the Mission is Lauren Cunningham. And he says this, "Every person is either a missionary or a mission field." And so as you go to work, that is your mission field. What does it look like to see transformation in all spheres of society in Malaysia? Step in. But then I believe there's a great number of Malaysians that are not just called inside Malaysia, but called to bless the nations. How will we respond? And so Isaiah responds to this invitation. It's not even directed to him. It's not even a command to him. It's a question from God's heart. It's God's dream. And it reminds me of the movie Shrek. Have you guys seen the movie Shrek? A couple of you? Yes. Some of the movie fans are like, "Yes, I love Shrek." In Shrek, there's this part where Shrek comes to his whole crew. And he is needing to go and meet the king. And he says, "I need somebody to go with me. Who will go with me?" And he looks around and nobody volunteers except for this one guy, Donkey. You guys remember Donkey? When I saw this on the movie and Donkey goes, "Pick me, Shrek, pick me," I immediately thought of Isaiah. It's a spirit of volunteerism. And Donkey says, "I want to be with you, Shrek. I want to go with you. Pick me, pick me." Now pause. This is very different than oftentimes how we think about missions. Have you ever been in a missions meeting, call to missions? And the pastor gets up, or the missionary like me. "Now I want to call you to missions. If you're willing to die for the gospel." And the slow music comes on. Dun, dun, dun. Everyone bows their heads. Everyone's kind of looking around going, "Oh, the poor soul that gets called to missions. God bless them." And then Darren in the back corner stands up and starts to walk forward, tears going down his face. And his mother looks up, picks up, "No! My son, you're throwing away your future." And his girlfriend looks up, "No, sit back down, honey. No." This is a very different picture than what we see biblically. There's an invitation to Isaiah. There's an invitation to the disciples. There's an invitation to us. Will you step in? And they don't hesitate. They volunteer. "Pick me. I want to be a part of your dreams, God. I want to be a part of your dreams, taking the gospel to the most unreached." It's an invitation to DUMC. Will we step in? Can you say, "Step in with me"?
Step in.
Oh, one more time. Step in.
Step in.
A missions movement cannot be birthed without a spirit of volunteerism and generosity. The essence of missions is volunteering. The essence of missions is generosity. And I commend you, DUMC, for your generosity. As you go out into the concourse and see the different missions that you are supporting all throughout Asia, I commend you. But I believe that there's a greater wave that is coming. I believe there is a greater invitation. And so, a little bit of my story. I moved to Cambodia in 2005, and I went with a short-term team, and then in 2006, we started this ministry. There's five young people. I was 26 years old. It's always dangerous when you put up a picture of yourself 13 years ago. But by God's grace, the ministry exploded. And we're about a 95 full-time staff working and impacting thousands of people in our city. It's the second largest city in Cambodia. And we started to just come alongside God's dream and say, "We want to step in, God. We want to be a part of what you're doing in this nation." So we started different evangelistic ministries. We have a preschool. We have a language training school that has about 400 young people that come every single quarter to learn English, but then hear about the love of Jesus and get the invitation to come into his kingdom. We also run a number of training schools, raising up Cambodian missionaries to be sent out to the nations. And we do lots of mercy ministries, reaching out to the least, the last, the lost, women at risk, children at risk. And over the last 5 years, God began to speak to us about having a long-term campus. It's such a blessing that you have this long-term campus here that can facilitate the work of the Lord. And God started to speak to us, and it was quite miraculous because we had not found a property. We'd looked extensively, and then God specifically led us. I was literally driving on a moto with one of our key Cambodian leaders, praying, and God said, as I prayed, I said, I was kind of joking. You ever pray and have fun with it? Like I'm praying on the back of the moto, and I go, "God, please, if you have a property," I'm singing, not as well as Pastor Chris, but singing a little bit. "Oh God, if you have a property for us, lead us to it." And my Cambodian brother, he stops, says, "I feel like we need to turn around." Turns around, drives 100 meters, says, "I feel like we need to take a left." Turn left, drive 100 meters. We end up in front of this sign that says, "For sale." I'm like, "Take off your helmet. Do you have the bat phone in your helmet? What's going on?" Just directed by God. Long story short, we call on the property. The owner of the property is a Chinese Cambodian Buddhist man. After a month of sharing with him what we're doing in his community, he looks at us and he says this: "Because you're educating our youth, because you're developing our community, I'm going to sell this property," and he gives us the number, conservatively about a third of the market value, probably more like a fifth of the market value. Completely miraculous, to the point where when we sign the property deal, his eldest son is there, and his eldest son looks at me and goes, I don't understand. Why is my father selling this to you? I tried to buy it from him 2 years ago for more money, and he wouldn't sell it to me. Why is he selling it to you? And I just said, his name is Jesus. That's the only way that I could explain it. We have this 13-acre property. We just moved on 15 months ago. We're trusting God for a lot of money. We've seen major breakthrough, but we're only about 25% built out. And because it's such a large property, it's probably the second or third largest facility in our city. We had to get approval from the government. And by God's sovereignty, we ended up meeting the governor of our whole province, and we said, this is what we're doing, and this is what we want to do. And he literally looked at us and said this, do this and do this as quickly as possible. We need this in our city. God's hand has been upon us as we have stepped in. There's an invitation this morning to step in. Why missions? Because God is a missionary. From the beginning, he's been a missionary. From Genesis to Revelation, he's been on a mission. God comes and he creates in Genesis 1. He separates land from sea. He separates dark from light. He reaches down into the ocean and he picks up Malaysia. And he says, and it is very good. You're supposed to say amen at that part. Because you love Malaysia. I was getting off the plane and my kids are like, we're in Malaysia, we're in Malaysia. And one of the guys in front turns around and goes, welcome to Malaysia. It's my country. It's the best country in the world. God has blessed Malaysia to be a blessing. God's been on a mission since the beginning. He gives that mission to Adam and Eve, and they screw it up. And then in Genesis 3, after they've messed it up, God comes and he preaches the gospel for the first time that he will send his son. God is a generous God, and Jesus comes and volunteers. God is looking this morning if we will be generous and if we will volunteer. If we will be like Isaiah and step in. Jesus is the greatest missionary. In the Gospel of John, it says this, the Father sent me, the Father sent me. He was sent on a mission. He stepped in. And then at the end of the book of John, he turns to the disciples. I love this church because you have this focus, love God, serve people, and make disciples. So he turns to the disciples and he says this, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. DUMC, we are called to be a sent people. It's an invitation. There are 2 billion people that call themselves Christians in the world today. And as we think about Missions Weekend, it's a focus on global missions, but only 430,000, about 0.001%, have responded to God's call as cross-cultural missionaries. How will we respond? The church is really good at preaching about tithing. Tithing is a biblical concept. I just had this dream. What would it look like if we tithed on our people to the mission field? Your congregation of 6 different languages and about 5,000 people. What if over the next year, 10 years, DUMC had a goal of tithing, seeing 500 sent out. Make a big impact on this number. And it could catalyze not just your church, but a Malaysian missions movement. Not a militia movement. A Malaysian missions movement. See, the good news is there's the changing face of missions that's going on currently. Did you know that about 2/3 of the current mission force are indigenous people from Asia, Africa, South America? It's your time to step in, and the invitation is open. The next wave of missions is coming from Asia, and God is saying, will you be a part of it? Will you join the wave of missions? And so I want to tell you a little bit about how we've been seeing this happen in Cambodia. See, from 1975 to 1979, I believe you would probably know the history of Cambodia. The Khmer Rouge came in and committed a mass genocide of about 2 to 3 million people. When they lost power, the Vietnamese came and continued to fight back, and the Khmer Rouge did not stop fighting until the late 90s. I went there for the first time in 2003, and there was still incredible political instability. Elections were happening, and there was fighting. And at that time, the Cambodian government said this: 80% of Cambodians are under the age of 30, and 42% are under the age of 15. And God asked me this question: what would it look like if the younger generation, 80% of a whole nation, turned to me? Literally, we could see one nation transformed in one generation. The question I want us to think about this morning is, what could happen in this generation in Malaysia? And so we started to dream about what could happen in a generation. And we thought about South Korea. It's very interesting because on Friday there were significant meetings between South Korea and North Korea. But 70 years ago, South Korea and North Korea were coming out of a war. South Korea, North Korea, the poorest nation on the planet, South Korea, highly culturally Buddhist, coming out of a war. Fast forward 70 years later, God has transformed South Korea. South Korea is at least 30% Christian. As a nation turns to Christ, God blesses those nations. South Korea is now the ninth wealthiest nation on the face of the planet. I'm not talking the prosperity gospel. I am talking Deuteronomy 27, 28. God blesses as we turn to him. And if we turn away, it's dangerous. You can see the stark contrast in North Korea. And so God is transforming this nation. Now, Abraham, God was told him, don't be blessed and keep it, but give it away. And South Korea has been doing that. Now they are the second most sending of missionaries of any nation in the world. So if you want to talk about, can God transform a nation in one generation? Yes, he can. He's done it in South Korea. Now, think about Malaysia. What could God do in Malaysia? See, we've been dreaming in Cambodia. What could God do through this generation in Cambodia? And we believe God wants to transform a nation in one generation. That he doesn't just want to raise up missionaries in Cambodia to send within Cambodia, but there's a call on Cambodians to be a blessing to the nations. See, God has placed gifts in each nation that he doesn't want just to keep to ourselves, but to send out to the nations. I see in Malaysia a gift of the cultures, a gift of hospitality, a gift of creativity, and God wants to use those gifts in your nation to bless the nations. And so over the last 15 months, we've had the privilege of sending out 25 long-term missionaries. Almost 80% of them are Cambodians. And I want to tell you about my friend Yuka. He's the tall, handsome one there on the left. He came to us as an 18-year-old kid, and God raised him up as a leader. He went into a village in a place called Poipet, Cambodia, near our city. He encountered a woman. She was completely demonic, 22 years old, had a 2-year-old kid. She was so demonic and crazy that she was living in a slum, and she was slashing her slum house with a machete. Her mother, who's only 42 years old, had taken her and chained her ankle to the post of their house like a dog because she was so out of control. Yuka walks into the village, sees this, starts praying. God says, invite your outreach team to fast. They fast and pray for a week. At the end of the week, they pray for her. She's completely delivered of the demonic spirit, completely healed, and a church is planted in her house. Yeah, there's another good time to clap. Like Isaiah, Yuka had an encounter, and he stepped in. And now Yuka has led a team out into one of the closed nations, and he has stepped in. In the movie Gladiator, Marcus Aurelius turns to his brothers and he says this: brothers, what we do in life echoes in eternity. Partially true. What we do in life is for the kingdom, it will echo in eternity. If what we do in life is for our kingdom, it will be not echoing in eternity. It will drown away. Your life can make a huge difference if you step in. Martin Luther stepped in. He walked up to a door called the Wittenberg door and nailed 95 theses to that door, and it started the Reformation. It changed history. When you step into God's dreams, you can change history. But what it took for Martin Luther was what a quote comes from the movie We Bought the Zoo. Sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Martin Luther had 20 seconds of insane courage, and it changed history. Now, he walked up to that door not having any idea that we'd still be talking about him 500 years later. But he changed history. An African-American man went to Germany in the early 1900s. He heard the story of Martin Luther. He was so inspired by the gospel work that he came home and he named his son Martin Luther. Martin Luther King Jr. Courage stepped in. His life changed history. Friends, in a generation where we talk about the call of God in our lives and destiny, I want to tell you that destiny has everything to do with what you count as most important. What you count as most valuable will determine your destiny, because destiny is not a mystery, it's a decision to step in. Somebody help me. Can we say step in? To God's dream, to Malaysian's movement, a little bit louder. Can you help me? Step in. God is inviting us to step in. The question I want us to end with is this. What will your generation in Malaysia leave as a legacy? Will you leave the legacy as being the most comfortable generation ever? Or will you leave a legacy that you were the most missional generation ever? Will you leave a legacy that you made the most money or that you sent the most for the kingdom? What will be written as the legacy of this generation? Your decisions will determine that destiny. And that has everything to do with us individually as well as us corporately. And God is inviting us to be a part of his dreams. One last person I want to highlight to you. His name is A.W. Milne. He was a missionary to the New Hebrides. See, this summer you have opportunities to go on missions trips. And if you go on a mission trip, come to Cambodia because it's the greatest place on earth. And you'll pack a backpack and you'll go on missions. 100 years ago, missionaries did not pack backpacks. They packed coffins. A.W. Milne packed his coffin. He went to a place called the New Hebrides. They were known to be headhunters. He knew that he would probably die. This is an old picture of A.W. Milne, and you can't even tell which ones are the indigenous people and who is him. He's in the center if you look really closely. He lived there 30 years. He did not die because they killed him. Actually, God moved, and they responded to the gospel. And after 30, 35 years, he died amongst those people, and they buried him in his coffin. In the center of the biggest village, and on his tombstone, they wrote this. When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. DUMC, there's an invitation. Wherever you're working, it's your mission field. Isaiah says, woe is me, I'm lost, I'm a man of unclean lips. He got lost before he figured out the bigness of his calling. When I was in India, I realized I'm saved, but in one way I'm lost because my whole focus is just on my success and my comfort. And I realized that there was a bigger call. There was a bigger dream of God in his heart than just me making money, retiring at 55. That God had dreams in his heart, and he invited me. And so, as we go into a time of worship and response, I want to ask us this question. What are we asking for? The scripture that was laid on my heart for you as we ask this question is in Psalm chapter 2, verse 8. And it says this, ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance and the end of the earth your possession. I want to invite you to stand up. We're going to worship in a moment. But as we think about responding to God's heart for missions, there's really just three responses to God's global mission. Go, send or give, or disobey. That sounds really strong, but it's just what the Bible teaches. Some of us are called to go. All of us are called to give. So I want to invite you to step in Because God's heart is to see Malaysians bring transformation to Malaysia, but also to the nations. And so I want to invite you that we would just begin to lift our voices in a moment and just cry out to God. God, we don't want to miss out. See, that was one of the warnings that God put in my heart as we come. Just that there's an opportunity to step in, but it's a choice. And I pray that Malaysia will not miss out. The DUMC will not miss out. And so I'd just like to invite us all across the celebration hall just to lift our voices and say, God, would you use us? Would you use us here in Malaysia to influence the spheres of society? That we would see our workplace, we would see our schools as our mission field. But that we wouldn't stop there, but that we would be like Isaiah and step in. We would respond out of joy and say, will you send me? And then we would pray for a generation that would go out of Malaysia and bless the nations. God has blessed Malaysia. And now the question is, will we be a blessing to the nations? So I just want to invite you, if you want to lift up your hands to heaven, if you want to cry out to God, just let's all across this place just begin to pray with one voice all together. And if you want to pray in the Spirit, if you want to pray in your own language, let's just begin to pray and call on God to give us the nations, our inheritance. Yes, Father, we cry out to you this morning. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? We want to contend, God, for a Malaysian's missions movement. We want to contend for what you have. We don't want to miss out, God. We want to step in, God. I pray for DUMC that we would have hearts like Isaiah's, that we would volunteer and say, yes, send me. Here I am. Send me. We're going to continue to respond, but I just want to invite the worship team just to lead us into a song as we continue to respond. And let's continue just to be available to what the Lord would speak to us as we think and contemplate the invitation to respond like Isaiah.
Where would I run but to the throne of mercy? Where would I kneel but at this cross of grace? How great the love, how strong the hand that holds us. Beautiful, so beautiful. So here I bow to lift you high. Jesus, be glorified.
Church, I believe it's time to respond to the Lord. You know, as Pastor Garth was just sharing, the Lord brought to mind a sermon that I preached a few months ago. You remember that sermon called Chasing the Lion. And I think we have asked God to stretch our hearts. And we have asked God to give us a dream so big, if you remember, a dream so big that if God is not in it, is bound to fail. And we have asked God to stretch us. And many of us, you know, we were inspired. But yet, you know, in the routines of life, sometimes we forget. And it's such a great reminder, once again, that God has put a dream in many of us. Because we were challenged to say that, Lord, the life I'm living now, God, you know, where am I heading with this life? And I believe God is really challenging us to a life, a purpose larger than ourselves. So this is the challenge, I believe, you know, as I sense Pastor Garth's heart, it is a challenge of obedience to the Lord, to say to the Lord that, Lord, here I am, you know, me, pick me, Lord, all right? Here I am. Now, you may not know what's going to happen in the coming weeks or coming months, but you know what? God is not so interested to tell you those things first, but He's more interested to know your heart, whether you would respond to Him and say, here I am, God. And this is a challenge of obedience. You say, Lord, here I am, God. You may not even know where you're heading, and reminded me when I was you know, about 21 years old. I remember it was a mission conference like this as well. And the challenge to many of us who are students then, the challenge was, will you obey God? Will you give your life to God and say, Lord, you do what you want to do with me? Do you know the greatest things that we can do for ourselves is give our life to this God who knows the future? Do we even recognize that? And so as a 21-year-old, I gave my life to the Lord and said, God, here's my life. I don't even know what I was doing in the future. But all I did was to say, God, here's my life. And I still remember walking right to the front to say, Lord, this is my life at 21 years old. It doesn't matter whether you're 21 or 51 or 71, it doesn't matter. But all you want to say to the Lord is that, God, here I am, my life. And some of you, God has called you to the mission field. And you need to respond this evening, because if you don't do this morning, if you don't do that, 1 year will pass by and there's another 1 year gone. So will you heed the call of God right now to say, Lord, here's my life, Lord. Here's my life. All right. I would like the pastors to come right to the front right now and just receive anyone, all right, who say, God, here's my life. It is not a call, you know, to ask you to do specific things here. But some of you, God has already given you specific things, and I want you to respond to that. And so we're going to sing this song, and as many of you, and later on, I'm going to open up this time for prayer for other needs. But this is a call for you to say, here's my life, God. I'm giving it to you. Take it, Lord, and use me. And that's a powerful response. Amen? All right.
There is a King who bore the scars of healing. Theirs is the Son who came in grace and truth. How great the love that carries us to kindness. Wonderful, so wonderful.
Spend a moment with the Lord right now, because I believe God is speaking to many of our hearts. You know, you feel a tug in your own heart right now. And sometimes the first step is the hardest. I remember that. I did that before. But I believe that this is a step that would literally, where you tell yourself that, God, I'm putting my life into your hand. And so I believe that there is an anointing upon the church right now, that God is going to give you the courage to do something they've never done before, to chase that lion that God has put in your heart. And I also sense that for some of us, the Lord is speaking to parents. You know, as a parent, you know, one of the things that we learn to let go, and I'm speaking for myself as well, my grown-up children, is learn to let them go. You know, one of the prayers that we need to make as parents is this: God, here are my children, Lord. I release them to you. Because our plan may not be the best plan for our children. What we think is the best plan, God has a better plan. And so I believe some of us here as parents, you're concerned for your children. Do you know the best thing that you can do is bring your children to the Lord and come as a couple and not to the front of the house and say, God, these are my children, Lord. I'm so concerned about them. I don't even know where they're heading. But Lord, we want to learn from today onwards to just entrust our children to you. And that is the best prayer you can make. And so some of us young adults, I sense many of us, you know, who are young adults here, you know, when asked, what is your dream? You know, I've asked a number of young adults, what is your dream? You have absolutely no idea what your dream is, except to make money and do well in career. To me, that's a small dream. And some of us, you know, if you do not know how to dream, maybe it is a time for you to respond and say, God, give me a dream, all right? And ask someone to lay hands on you and say, from now on, God, give me a dream. Not your dream, but your dream. So whatever, you know, your needs are in this area, I want to encourage you to come to the front, pray, and then we're going to go on to pray for needs later on. But this is a precious moment here right now. There's an anointing upon the church right now to just release that grace upon you, right? One more time, I'm going to sing this, and then please respond to that, even up from those in the gallery as well.
To lift you high.
Believer in the Lord, you know, we are to acknowledge that in baptism that we died and Christ lives. Amen. So this life is not our own. It belongs to God. And if you can right now put your hand on your heart right now as we end this service here, you know, and say, because you are Christian, you are a believer, Lord, this life is not my own, but yours, God. Will you dedicate your life to the Lord? If you're not a Christian here this morning, and you're invited by someone, and there is something that you know it is tugging in your heart, and you say, Pastor, what is this about knowing God? You know, we have some pastors and leaders here right now, or your friend has brought you. Turn to your friend and say, could you tell me a little bit more about God? What is this God that can make a difference in my life? You know, this is probably one of the most powerful decisions you can ever make for yourself. All right, so ask someone and say, will you share with me about God? All right, and so as you stand here before God, even those on live stream watching this from a home or anywhere else in the world, you know, put your hand to your heart right now and rededicate your life to God and say, Lord, this life is not my own, but yours, God. And so, Holy Spirit, will you come and put, Lord, something into our spirit right now and begin, Lord, to help us dream a dream far bigger than ourselves, a dream so big, God, that if you're not in it, Lord, it's bound to fail. And that's the kind of God we believe in. A dream maker. And so I just sense the Lord saying to us as a parting word for us, is this, that when we walk out through that door, please don't go back to the norm. Please don't go back to the normal, to the routines of life. Go back to the routine, yes, by all means, but go into it supernaturally. That you have a God, the Holy Spirit, that will guide and lead you into wherever that you do it, whatever that you go. Be mindful that as you wake up each morning, say, good morning, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, God. Because I want to live that supernatural life. And so, Holy Spirit, will you honor the prayer of every person here, God? And so as we come right now, and later on, as I end this service, if you have any need for prayer, for healing, or you can come right up to the front. But right now, I'm going to say a prayer of benediction. And so, Holy Spirit, will you take our life? And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of His Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. And all God's children say, amen, amen, amen. Have a great weekend. And if you need any prayer for healing and for any other needs, you can come right to the front and we can pray for you.